Vaya Chaye Yoga Anu Vaya Chaye Yoga.
Gary Beaver grew up in the village of Kasigluk in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. He teaches and performs Yupik drum and dance at home, and now in New York City. Gary is one of the performers and creators of an ambitious new show that opened off Broadway last week. It's called Aluxia, Alaska, a name that reflects the 49th state's complicated history and shifting identity. Before opening in New York, the cast and crew made a short tour around Alaska, including a stop in Nome. I got to catch up with them before the show and start to unwind some of its many threads. My name is Zoe Gruskin, and this is Story 49. The back of the stage in the Nome Elementary School is shadowy and feels more like a supply closet. While the rest of the crew was busy hanging lights and screwing together the set, we found some chairs and sat down to talk. Gary and the show's two other stars, or as they like to say, collaborators, Ryan Conero and Justin Perkins.
Aluxia, Alaska includes kind of multiple strands that are all stories of encounters in Alaska.
That's Ryan. An Army brat, he grew up moving around the lower 48, and fresh out of college, he moved to Western Alaska to work at a radio station. This one, actually. After his year of service at KNOM, Ryan didn't want to leave Alaska. He stuck around, working as a journalist, actor, director, and teaching artist. It was while teaching in the lower Kuskokwim schools that Ryan met Gary. Gary was long used to meeting teachers from far away. As a child, those were the first white people he'd ever seen outside of the TV. He tells the story in the show.
The word gusak means free, independent, a nomad, a vagabond. Gusak. In your village, Kasigluk, the teachers are the gusaks. And the first gusak you know is a man named Bill. Principal of the school. Principal Bill. He was skinny and taller than everyone. You were afraid of him until he talked to you.
When Gary and Ryan met as adults, they weren't afraid. But even though they'd noticed each other around and both were curious, it took them a while to get to know each other and eventually become friends. They tell that story in the show, too. In fact, all the stories in the show, in one way or another, are circling around a question. With all our differences and the weight of centuries of often painful history, can we find common ground?
And sometimes I kind of boil that down to, like, it's about two people meeting each other because, you know, it's easy to start to fall into, like, well, it's about native, non-native, or cross-cultural, but really, it's really about what happens when two people meet each other.
3 years ago, Ryan joined Ping Chong and Company, a New York-based theater company that creates multidisciplinary productions with a lens on social justice. Ryan and Ping started to dream up a show about Alaska, one that would share many voices. Ryan asked Gary if he'd like to be a part of the team. Gary wasn't sure.
At first I was having second thoughts about it, but then I talked with Ryan and with my family, trying to figure out what they were trying to do.
What about it made you think, like, yeah, I want to be a part of that?
When I was told with my own personal experiences, I talked with my family, so they was like, go for it, you need to do it, so... Plus my Eskimo dancing, and that's what I really wanted to bring out to the world, to see what is going on in our Yupik culture.
Gary and Ryan combed through their own memories, working together to choose stories for the show.
Ryan was the one who interviewed me, and at first he was like, think about it, but I was right there on the phone, so right away I'd tell him the stories and everything, he'd write it down.
Gary and Ryan crafted monologues and scenes together out of their experiences, but they wanted to tell other stories, too. So Ryan and Ping traveled around the state, talking to Alaskans about cross-cultural encounter in their own lives, growing up in Nome, Unalakleet, King Island, Brevig Mission, St. Mary's. Some of these stories became part of the show, bits of interviews played between live scenes. To tell historical stories, reaching back hundreds of years, the company got even more creative. They turned to Justin Perkins to fashion a wide variety of puppets and other props, which he used throughout the show to suggest, explain, and sometimes complicate the other stories about everything from otters and fur traders to nuclear testing in the Aleutian Islands, or a man struggling to start a snow machine in the cold. Perkins says he found inspiration in Alaska Native traditional doll making, as well as silent film, and the eclectic collection of puppets reflects the show's unusually diverse and collaborative creation. Aluxia, Alaska definitely has a lot going on. Ryan made a point of saying humor is part of that.
Like, really, actually good humor. Like, it's funny at times. There's Yupik dancing, there's other kinds of dancing, there's a real sense of play and some of the historical telling and the personal stories. So there's a real journey that we hope the audience will go on with us.
And that journey does include dark passages. For Gary especially, working on the show has at times been heavy.
Sometimes it would be so hard for me. Some pieces, they were really hard. When this started, I used to walk out and cry. Then I'd get back in and try do it again. I had to try and make myself stronger. And I keep praying, like, us Yupiks, we have faith, hope, and love, which I didn't really have. But now, with what I saw, my faith, my hope, and my love is a little more stronger, and it's still going up. Like my friends and my family say that I'm lucky to have this job, I say, nope, I'm blessed.
Gary says being a part of Aluxia, Alaska has been healing in ways both big and small. Meeting new people, that central idea again, used to be extremely hard for him. And he told me the show has helped.
Just like me and you, how we met, and talking to each other immediately without me just staying here and being quiet. I started off really shy because I'm not used to talking to other people and all that, meeting new people, which this show really is and still helping me, and it's giving me a different perspective. And I know there's somebody out there that needs my help.
I hope that Aluxia, Alaska inspires reflection and conversation between people, thinking about how we live in our communities and how we interact with each other.
The company knew that performing Aluxia, Alaska here in Western Alaska would have a different weight than in New York, and they wanted to create a space for that reflection and conversation. While still developing the show, Ryan had consulted with Lisa Alana, director of the Kutirvik Cultural Center in Nome. Now he asked Lisa if she'd like to help lead a talking circle after the performance, open to everyone.
I showed up with a couple boxes of Kleenex from Kawarik Wellness that were donated and said, okay, let's have this talk. That was a beautiful play. What did it pull out of you? What did it mean to you? You know? So we didn't have a real central prompting kind of question as we went around the room in the talking circle. It was more of a conversation and a community.
Lisa believes we should all be having as many hard conversations as possible, and she appreciates how art can open them.
A lot of times we enter into these really hard discussions about history, you know, and it's hard to enter those discussions. It can be very, very uncomfortable. It can be very, it brings up a lot of emotion, right? But they presented the story with so much art and so much beauty and song and understanding and care. They really nurtured the audience along the way.
Different audiences will take different things from Aluxia, Alaska, which is, of course, the strength of all stories. They invite you in and let you find your own meaning. But Lisa thinks the show is especially resonant here in Western Alaska.
It needs to be said, too, that Alaska Native people are so... They know the weight of story and how important it is to our cultures, and you know, this play is going to be presented. It's been presented in Nome. It's going to be presented in other places. They're going to do the play in the same way, just like Indigenous people say you have to tell a story exactly how it was told to you, and then, you know, you're free to do the interpretations. It's a way to honor people, and it's a way to lift them up and allow them the space to interpret the story and find the meaning and the relevance to their current situation. They're doing the same thing, you know, and it's going to have different meaning for different people. And I think it was, I'm sorry, but I think it was most meaningful to Nome, Alaska. I'm going to own that. It was meaningful to us. Very meaningful.
I asked Gary what he hopes audiences will take away from the show, but he didn't want to focus on a specific message.
I really cannot judge that because it's all of us are different, and I cannot judge how people think. I cannot do that. It'll be their own opinion in what they see. But to me, I just hope, wish that I help somebody out there. And I know through this show I helped not one, not two, but a lot more. They came up to me and told me already after the show, so.
Alexia Alaska is playing this month at La Mama Theater in New York, but it premiered here in Alaska. Thank you to everyone who made this episode possible. Special thanks to Gary Beaver, Ryan Conero, Justin Perkins, and Lisa Alana. Music in this episode by Mystery Mammal. To explore way more of the stories Ryan collected across the state, visit encountersalaska.org. If you or someone you know has a story to share, contact KNOM at 443-5221 or by email at story49@knom.org. Story 49, sharing your story, your voice, your Alaska.